Through the jungles of Rwanda to the savannas of Australia, Jungle Jack Hanna has explored the corners of the globe as one of the most visible and respectable animal ambassadors. He's bringing his stage show, Jack Hanna's Into the Wild, live to Proctor's in Schenectady tomorrow night. Stories will abound, from brushing a hippo's teeth to eating with wombats, as well as footage from his worldwide adventures. Of course, there will also be an array of animals such as cheetahs and kangaroos and penguins and many, many more. Recognized around the country as America's favorite zookeeper, Jack has made countless TV appearances since 1983 on shows such as The Late Show with David Letterman, Good Morning America, and CNN. He is the host of TV's Emmy Award-winning Jack Hanna Into the Wild, and again, he will be in Schenectady tomorrow night. It is a great pleasure to welcome the Director Emeritus of the famed Columbus Zoo, Jack Hanna, to the roundtable this morning. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good, getting ready to bring all my animals over there. Not all my animals, we have 10,000, so I won't be bringing that many. No, it's going to be a lot of fun, I think. We're going to bring because of where you're located, you know, a lot of places, when I go to California, places like that, all over the place, I can't take some of them, but we're actually going to bring the cheetah, the world's fastest land mammal, which is something that, you know, when I film them, it's just an amazing thing. And then we're going to bring the echidna. The echidna, which most people never heard of, is only two egg-laying mammals in the world. Can you imagine that? Egg-laying mammal. Picture a cow laying an egg. This is called the echidna. And they're a mammal from Australia, and there's only about three in the United States. So I'm bringing the echidna, the kangaroo, a sloth, the penguin, lemurs from Africa, binturong from Asia. It's a bear cat. So they got some great animals, and along with some of my current videos that I just got through filming last year, the Great Migration in Africa, which, you know, we've all heard of it because it is a wonder of the world. But when I saw it in person, I've been trying to do it for 20 years. It just happens. No one can predict when it'll happen. I just happened to be over there in March, April. And it happened right during those 2 months. You never know when that was. It starts up, and you see well over a million, wildebeest and wildebeest and zebra crossing the Mara River all at once. A million of them. It's absolutely a world's wonder, like they say it is. And so I'll be showing that along with my blooper tape, and it should be a lot of fun.
What is your blooper tape like?
Cause, I'll tell you what it's like. I'll tell you again, that camel eats my hair. An ostrich, a big ostrich, a veterinarian was treating the ostrich, and I was trying to help him. Well, guess what? The ostrich took that leg. Is fatal to any kind of animal, a person especially. Well, he took that leg with that big claw on the front of it and swung it sideways while I was trying to help the veterinarian. It hit me right, you know, where in the wrong place of a guy, and yeah. Put me out of commission. Let me tell you something. When you'll hear it slap, people think it's funny, like a blooper, so I show the thing, but you'll see all kinds of funny things, and then you'll see the Great Migration, along with several other things that I filmed in the last 5 years.
Generally speaking, do animals travel well in the sense of bringing them from wherever, whether it be from Columbus to Schenectady or wherever?
Columbus. Yeah, you're so close that we have no problem whatsoever. You know, people sometimes get concerned over. They tell them not to get concerned whatsoever. The animals have a blast doing it, traveling over there in the big vans, and all these animals have been here for quite a few years. But we are going to bring the cheetah. For example, if I go to California, Texas, places like that, it's just too far. But coming to where you are, we'll bring the cheetah, the world's fastest land mammal, the echidna, which is an egg-laying mammal from Australia. There's only three in the United States. The kangaroo, the sloth, which is for some reason, the sloth last year or so has become one of the most popular animals during my speeches. And the sloth is a different animal, there's no doubt about it. We'll have penguins, lemur, primate, the bear cat from Asia. So we'll have some great animals and also some great videos. And I just enjoy, you know, talking to people.
I just Googled echidna, and it sort of looks like it's sort of like a porcupine-ish.
Yeah, a screwed up porcupine. Exactly, but you're good. Yeah, it is. Echidna, yeah, and it lays an egg. So it's a mammal that lays an egg. Every time I see it and say this, it's hard for me to believe that animal lays an egg just like a chicken, but it does. And the duck-billed platypus is the only other one in the world that does it. Just those two animals in the world. And they're going to see something where there's only two or three of these in our country. So, you know, it's just, for me, it's an interesting thing to talk about the animal. It looks like a porcupine, like you said.
Yeah.
But those quills don't come out. Those quills are just in there like a nail. That's why nothing can eat it.
You know, I think of what you do and how important it is, because here in this region, we don't have a zoo. If we want to go to a zoo, we go to New York City and we go to the Central Park Zoo or we go to the Bronx Zoo. But you really are able to then bring these animals, and in some cases, it's certainly for kids, but for adults as well, their only opportunity to see these magnificent creatures.
Yeah, you know, something, you know, people have learned that, I think, over the years I've done speeches. It's not, as I tell people when I do interviews like this with you on the phone and TV, I tell them, you know, this show is for anyone from a three-year-old up to a 100-year-old. And, you know, if you do bring a little baby there, I have grandkids, by the way, so I'm not against it at all. But I'm just saying, you know, if you have a child that's 3 months, 4 months old, then it's kind of difficult for the child. But other than that, though, this, you know, I try and do the show to where some kid that might be, you know, you see these animals up there or see the videos, you know, I could sit up there and use a lot of conservation, real difficult terms and everything, but I do not do that. I don't get up there and talk about, you know, the whole world flying apart. You know, yes, conservation has a few problems, but, you know, I'm not a negative speaker. So I'll get up there and talk about the animals alive, the ones we have, and my videos are a lot of fun to watch. I don't mean to brag on me. It's not me. It's a matter of the animals they'll see in those videos, which none of them have ever seen before. And then they get to see the living creatures, and then I get to tell my crazy living stories.
I'd like this to be a little more educational. Tell us something that will be interesting about the animals. You know what I mean?
This is a penguin.
Yeah, all right.
His thing has four parts to it.
What do you mean, his thing?
His... has four parts to it.
Password is penis.
No, just hold it.
No sudden movements, all right? Let him start with
Dave,
the cheese.
Dave, don't
start him
it.
On the cheese.
Dave, knock it off. No, give me a hot dog.
Come on, you son of a bitch. Let's go. Here, boys. Everybody, have a grape.
Ow.
Well, no, I don't want them pecking me.
No, I just want to try to show you how to do it. Look,
well, I know, that's fine, but they're going to peck my eyes out.
I first became aware of you on Letterman, on Late Night with David Letterman. You were on the early days of that program, and I guess you were, and did he see you on Good Morning America? Is that how that happened?
How'd you know? You got it exactly right.
Yeah.
Right. The Columbus Zoo in 1982 had twin gorillas here, the first ones ever born in a zoo and survived, twin gorillas. And then after that, they came here and covered it, and then the next weekend they say, Jack, or can you bring an animal over here? So I did. All of a sudden, Letterman must have seen it, and they called. So I did Letterman for 31 years and Good Morning America for about 35 years. And so that's how that whole thing started. And, you know, I'd go over there, and they said, well, if you're over here in the morning, you know, could you do, you know, then Letterman said, would you come over there and his? And I sure did, you know, 100-and-something shows in 30-something years. And it was a lot. You know what I think, you know, it's not a matter of me going on there and getting paid big bucks on the Letterman show, I can tell you that, or the Good Morning America. But the advertising for our zoo, after all those 31 years, was over, well over $1 million of advertising, not for me, but for our zoo, at least.
Yeah, I can.
Several million.
I would think
million.
It would be more than that, right?
Exactly.
Because you became an event. I mean, again, of my age growing up, when I would see that you were on, that you were going to be on Letterman, that was going to be an event. It was going to be funny. It was going to be amusing. You were going to make Dave uncomfortable. It was going to be great.
But you know, you're good because I didn't, you know, people said, how did it work, Jack? How'd you do TV? Well, I never took a lesson. I'm just who I was as a little boy in Tennessee. I just became myself. And so if you remember Letterman, like you said it perfectly, he'd always come after me, not the animals. He'd always do it, you know. And, and so it was almost like playing a little football game. So I had just fun doing it. And people would send me emails and texts and everything and say, golly, Dave, how do you let him talk to you like that? It's not nice. Or they'll say, Jack, why do you talk to him that other way? He may fire you. Well, big deal, fire me. The point is that when I went on there, I always let him go first, if you remember seeing it. I always let him do that. And if he can't, for example, toward the last show, he said to me, you know what you are, Jack? Real nice. He said, you know what you are, Jack? Oh, what, Dave? You're nothing but a walking encyclopedia of misinformation. That's all you are. You know what I did to him? I looked at him and I said, you know, Dave, you're an idiot. Because I had a pygmy hippo on there. You said it was a pig, you jerk. And that's exactly how the whole thing worked for 30 years. I had more fun. It's like I played a little bit of college football. And it was like, here we go, Jack. You know, and I never saw him before the show. You know, he's a dear, dear person. We're friends from TV, let's put it that way. But Dave is a very private person, but he also... The promotion he did for our zoo was, we could never have bought that. And in the animal world, he really started learning about animals and loving animals and his son. So for me, it was not a challenge. It was knowing that when I went on there, you know, something was going to happen. And I never saw him before the show ever in 30 years. And so I just went on there and had fun. I said, get ready, Jack. Here we go.
And that's a different experience. Now, I know when this airs, it'll be tomorrow morning, Friday morning, you'll be on Good Morning America.
Yep, I got to do Good Morning America when I come in town, and then you know, then I'll be able to go over and do Dave's. And a lot of times over the years, I've done that for many, many years.
Yeah.
You know, and then, of course, Good Morning America changed some staff and changed things. So we're going to go back and just, since we're there, they wanted us to do it. So we'll do that. But most of the times, over 30 years, I would do Good Morning America. Who was that guy on CNN? I did the news guy. Larry King, that's right. I'm sorry.
Oh, Larry King. King oh, God, so Larry King.
Now, I don't know if Larry was asleep half the time, but he and I had a fun thing on that one, trust me. That was something else. All right, we did Hollywood Squares, a bunch of shows back then, but, you know.
You did Hollywood Squares with Larry King?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
that's great. Did you bring animals on?
Oh, yeah, sometimes I did.
That's great.
Yes, I did. One of them crapped right on me right now. I was in the middle. You know, I did Hollywood Squares, that square in the middle. Crapped on. And then I didn't get put there anymore.
No. Because what? You have, like, Dom DeLuise, God rest his soul, Dom DeLuise under you.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, it'd be
you're
bad.
Right.
Let's go with Jack Hanna.
Jack Hanna. All right, Jack's TV show. Jack Hanna's Animal Adventures in its 10th year. Who do you have with you now? I can barely see it from here.
No, exactly. A lot of people don't realize this is a pixie frog from Africa. What's interesting, when it dries, their water holes drop. They can form a bubble of snots, what they call it, around them. A big bubble of slime and stuff like, you know what? And they can live in there for 2 years just hibernating underneath the ground.
What?
That's true. But listen, I don't want them to wait so long, and I'm very hungry.
No, you're not
going
to.
And I love frogs, so I'm ready to have a snack. You know, you just fry them. You fry the legs.
You think you can eat my cockroach. There.
Oh, is that a real
cockroach?
Bug?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, no. I don't want to play. Oh, God. I hate these things. I thought it was like it had a battery, but it's a real thing.
It's a real one.
Oh, please. Could you take it off, please? Oh, my God. Oh, thanks.
Oh, man.
Stick in your pants.
I didn't do these shows for money, I can tell you that. But no, the exposure for our zoo was in the millions after 30 years. I mean, who knows? I could never have bought that time for the Columbus Zoo.
Now, let us talk about zoos for a minute. What is the state, in your opinion, what is the state of the zoo right now? Are we in good shape?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, I can understand why people, I've been very blessed to travel in the last 30 years, travel all over the world and film animals in every continent in the world. As far as zoological parks today, people, you know, I can understand what happened years ago. I was raised in Tennessee. The Knoxville Zoo was very small enclosures. But today I can tell you this, and no one loves animals more than me, but yes, I've been very blessed to travel every continent and film these animals, but what do you think about the people in inner city? What do you think about not just inner city? What do you think about people anywhere when they can't go see a penguin in the South Pole or the cheetah in Africa or the elephant? Or I could go to South America and see the jaguar. Or I could sit here for all day on the phone with you. And that's why the zoological parks today are beyond important. Forget, you know, and everybody said, oh, my gosh, they need to go back in the wild. Well, I can correct that in 1 millisecond. And I asked those people, where's the wild, please? The lady was telling me about Glacier National Park in our country. I said, ma'am, I would not use that term, wild. I live about 15 miles from Glacier. I've been there 21 years. And, yes, Glacier is a beautiful park. But, ma'am, you cannot use the word wild when it comes to – I was born in this great Smoky Mountains. I've been all over the world. And if you have a national park, you have federal people watch the ones in our country, along with state people, along with county people. So I don't use the word wild when you have throughout Africa, throughout Asia, in many places, throughout our country for sure, you can use the word term wild. But if you want to go see the wild, I'll take you to the Amazon jungle. That's about one, and also the Congo in Africa. Those two places are about I will use the word wild. Other than that, I will not use the word wild if I take you to most parts of Africa because it's controlled by the federal government, the local government, as well as rangers all over the place. Now, if you want to use that word wild, that's fine. I don't do it. And so everybody keeps telling me about this wild thing. Well, it'd be great, wouldn't it? Well, the world is not that way anymore. We have a lot of people on the planet Earth. We have a lot of houses on planet Earth. We have a lot of companies on planet Earth. I can sit here and go all over the world, you know, tell you all over about the wild. And I only refer to the wild if I go in the Congo in Africa or I go into the Amazon jungle. And that is wild, yes. And I'm not trying to say that, you know, when I take people on safaris to Africa and other places, yes, they live out there, but they're also guarded by rangers and all the government. So, you know, you could call that wild if you want to, but, and everybody says, well, you know, these animals need to go back out in the wild. Well, that's a dumb statement to make. the zoological world, you know, the zoological world, are they going to be the ones in the future that everybody's going to say, oh, my God, thank goodness we have the rhino today. Oh, my God, thank God we have this certain type of cat today. I could go on and on for you if you want me to. back in the old days when I started this, I was only 19, late 50s. That's, I'm 72 years old now. I clean cages in the Knoxville Zoo. And I must tell you, no animal ever got mistreated, but the enclosures were terrible, small cages. Yes, they were. But today in zoological parks, these animals have it made better than most people in this country. Are you kidding me?
Right.
I mean, they cost millions of dollars. I know what the Columbus Zoo and most zoos in the country have. And we're all trying to do one thing. We're trying to educate, you know, families, other people can't get to Africa or South America or wherever you want to talk to it about it, or even down in the oceans of the world. You know, if you can't see something, you can't love something. And so, yeah, and the greatest attended event, by the way, in our country right now is attending the zoos and aquariums in our country, by the way. And that's what we do here at the Columbus, most all zoos in this country, and aquariums. You know, everybody didn't get to go there and see the cheetah in Africa, or the kangaroo in South America, or the sloth in South America, or the penguin at the South Pole, or the vultures. Or I could go on and on for all day, you and I on the phone. And, you know, what I love doing, and I'll tell you this, a guy came up to me last year in Connecticut. I was doing a speech. It was with his son. He came up, and I was doing autographs after the show, and he said, "Oh, Mr. Hanna, this is something. I remember 15 years ago, I was a senior in college, and you came and spoke to our college with your animals, and I'll never forget that tiger. And also when you did David Letterman, I never forgot those animals." So that's, you know, that said to me was one of the greatest things ever said to me. And I have it quite a bit about how people, you know, say, "Boy, it's really neat to see the animals you've had on some of the shows." Well, you know, yes, people laughed. And yes, people got to see them. But I'll tell you this right now, out of my 30 years of doing this at the Columbus Zoo, well, 41 years now, not one animal ever got sick. Not one animal. These animals had a blast doing it. And at least people got to see these animals in person on TV and stuff, and that's why I really enjoy doing it. And it's really paid off for the Columbus, not just the zoo, it's paid off for the animals.
So we talk about wild, and I'm just curious as to you and a person in your position, as I introduced you earlier as an animal ambassador. God knows you don't want to get, I assume when you go on stage, you don't want to get political. But is it difficult not to talk about the state of our earth, what is happening to our climate, and its effect on the animals? And
No. Sometimes I will talk about it, yes. I don't sit here and knock everything because I drive a car, I buy gas, I breathe air. In other words, we as human beings do things ourselves. They're natural. Yes, they are. I won't argue that. But also cause a lot of the stuff probably just being a human being. But right now, you know, I'll use this. My wife, if she was here right now, she'd get really upset with me. She does when I say this. It's one problem we have throughout the world. And the word is this, overpopulation, period.
Right.
And when I say that, I'm not trying to be mean about people. You know, I got kids and grandkids and stuff. But the thing is, though, people have to have food, wood, coal, water, correct? I mean, I could sit here for a whole day telling what people have to have. And right now, I just will say this. I'm just saying that I'm not, you know, I have kids and grandkids and everything else, but I can't help all that. Neither nobody can. I just know that throughout the world, what I see myself and all these jungles everywhere I go are more and more people. You know, I have a little house in Africa in Rwanda, which is a beautiful place, and the people are doing a pretty good job over there. But I can't control populations in places throughout the world. I'm just saying that the animals have lived there for centuries, or who knows, more than that. And, you know, when people come in, if they do it the right way, the animals can still live in some of these places. I've seen how it's been done professionally. In Africa, I've seen it, where it was a jungle, and somehow out of that jungle there's a campground, and there's might be a place for a little lodge. But the people that really build these things the right way don't even affect the animals. As a matter of fact, people come there to see the animals. So it's when we go in there, and they don't get away with this. Back in the old days, 20, 40, 50 years from now, I say old days, up to 50, 75 years ago, it was terrible how we just would go in there and build something and slam them all out. But today, people are being very careful of when they build even subdivisions in their own country right now. So I think people now realize that animals have to have a place to live.
Well, I hope that continues, and I hope we are always vigilant of that. I sometimes worry that we're not always vigilant of that.
No, you're right. You're right. Some places I've seen where it wasn't. And I when I go to these places, by the way, a lot of times to try and talk to people. I'm a person, by the way, I don't go in there and just run up to a village, let's say in South America or in Africa somewhere, and say, "Hey, you shouldn't be putting all your little towns here. You shouldn't be doing this.
Sure.
You shouldn't. You cannot do that." You walk up to the gentleman or lady and go, "I'm sorry, how you doing? I guess you're building something here, and you know, it's really neat, these beautiful primates you have here. The elephants are over there across the river." And if you start talking to people that way, instead of running up to them, telling them they're jerks, they're killing the elephants. You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
That doesn't work.
Yeah. So don't lead with that they're jerks. That.
Right, exactly. But, you know, it's amazing what you can do if you go up to someone nicely and said, you know, maybe I can help you. Maybe I can get the Columbus through or get some guys I know donating a little bit of money here to help you maybe change that road or maybe put this fence up over here. You know, it can be done. Trust me, I've done it too many times. So, you know, it's a matter of talking to people in a human way. You know, people have to be on earth as well. And, you know, yes, I love animals more than anybody. You know, I've given my whole life to it. But I've learned the hard way that you don't go running into a village in Africa or other places and saying, you can't, the word can't. You just don't start firing that word anywhere. You talk to them at first. And that's what I've been able to successfully do.
Well, you are going to be bringing your show, Jack Hanna's Into the Wild, to Proctor's in Schenectady. It's tomorrow night at 7:30, and folks can find out more information at proctors.org. I have been a Jack Hanna fan for decades. It's a great pleasure to have you on the program. I thank you very much for being with us, and I thank you so much for the beautiful work that you do.
Well, no, you're awful nice saying that. I'm going to learn how to stay in Schenectady. I'll try and do it better tomorrow night. Okay.
You'll be fine, Jack.
Okay.
Thanks right. so much. Be well.
Thanks for calling me. I'll see you tomorrow.
Travel right. safe. Thank you. Jack Hanna is going to be in Schenectady. He'll get it right. Schenectady tomorrow night, 7:30, proctors.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.